Okay, so which obviously for the net, especially in a not in a leap year, we have many, many weeks now devoted to the Mishkan. We don't even double up these parshiot. So we start a discussion of the Mishkan this week, and we will get 4 weeks of it, right? I think I don't think there's any double parshiot. Trumat Tzava definitely not together. Vayakakud, I think, are separate this year. I'm pretty sure, almost 100% sure. I just want to share some overarching ideas of it to start. The Rama, right, in addition to his classic work on halacha, both the Darkei Moshe, which is his encyclopedic commentary on the Torah, the Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch, which was actually similar to the Beis Yosef, and then the shorter version that he included to just put the Ashkenazi addenda. So in addition to that, in addition to other works he wrote in Halacha, he also writes an interesting work called Torah Ha'olah, which is a combination of like a halachic, mystical, philosophical work on the Karbanot. It's really a fascinating work. And right off the bat, in the first parak of Torah Ha'olah, he describes how, in his view, the Mishkan, the Mikdash, more even more the Mikdash than the Mishkan, but these ideas already start explaining what the purpose of these things are. So there are multiple layers that he sees, right? In this sense, you really see a more of a mystical sensibility where they have a parallel in the world, in heaven, right? And there's multiple layers of the symbolism. We started talking about this with the Ramban. It's even more surprising, I think, for some of you to realize the Ramah does this as well. So I just want to summarize some of his ideas in the first paragraph so you understand how the Ramah views the next few weeks and what we're getting into. So he starts off by noting that the Mishnah on Midot tells you that Harabayit is 500 Amah by 500 Amah. Okay? So then he says, okay, but what is the Mikdash parallel to? And here he has multiple layers, as I mentioned. So first he says, Paramru Chazal Mikdash Hashem Kono Yodecha, Melamed Shem Mikdash Shel Mata Mechuvan Keneged Mikdash Shel Mala. The first point is to recognize that the Mikdash, as it exists in this world, is parallel to one in heaven. Whatever that means, right? Right, that idea already points to this idea, this notion that the Mishkan, or the Mikdash that we have here, right, is manifesting something that exists in heaven, right? It's something that expresses a certain amount of divinity on earth. Vamrinan parakama detane to mikru sham shalmala. And here he quotes the Gemara in Tane that says, is there Yerushalayim in heaven? In dechtiv Yerushalayim b'nuya kir shechubra layachdav. I'm in Chagiga as well. There is this idea which appears that Michael acts as the Kohen Gadol in heaven, and at least in some versions of it, umakriv nafshotein shel tzadikim al mizbeach shomala, and Michael offers the souls of the tzadikim on the mizbeach, which according to some mafarshim is actually what the bracha of ritzei means, right? That ishei Yisrael is actually the people of Israel being offered on the heavenly mizbeach, whatever that means. And there, then he continues. He said, it can't just be that the things on earth are parallel to and an example of a microcosm of that which is in heaven. He says at some level it's not, first of all, the Beit HaMikdash is very precise in how it's built to highlight these parallels. But he says more than that. The world itself, Ki Olam Bichlalo Nikra Mikdash Shel Ma'ala. Right, so here it comes up with this fascinating idea that it doesn't just mean, right, it's not clear if this is exclusive or he's now adding. It's not just that there's a mikdash in heaven and that the mikdash here parallels it, but the world itself is the mikdash shel mala, and therefore the mikdash is also a microcosm of the world. Right, so it's a microcosm of the world and a parallel of something that's happening in the divine worlds. And that's why he says, and that's why the world is called the house of God. Skipping a paragraph, he says, "Zamar b'Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom b'chol beiti ne'emanu." And therefore, when we say about Moshe that in all my house he is trustworthy, Ratzalomar she'isig kol inyanei hamitziyot al amitatan. That means he understood all of creation as his essence, in his true essence, Kamo Shvira Rava Mora, etc. And then he goes on and he highlights several other parallels. And he says, "V'katava b'chaye." Parsha Truma, Shlosha Truma, Nemra Binyana Mishkan, Neged Shlosha Trumot, Shenivra Ben Olam. Rabbeinu Bechaye says that the three Trumot, right, the three donations that were given in the building the Mishkan, are parallel to the three Trumot that God used to create the world. What are they? Chachma, Dat, Utvuna. Right, these three types of wisdom and insight, Kidelis Korshan Mishkan, who Shakul Keneged Briata, to remember the Mishkan is parallel to the creation of the world. And that's why Bezalel needs the qualities of Vaimaleata Ruach Elohim Bechokhma Betvuna Vidat. And he says Shlomo as well, when he built the Mikdash, says Vaimaleata Chokhma Betvuna Veradat. And later on, he says that the Harabayit is 500 Amot times by 500 Amot. And he says, this is parallel to the world, which is 500 years by 500 years, whatever that means. Because the world itself hangs on God's word, right? It's supported by God's word. And he goes through with this symbolism throughout basically all Torah Ha'olah. But I think the fundamental idea, right, and this is very, I think it is actually quite common. It's not just it's not just the Ramah, but it's many thinkers, definitely more midrashic thinkers and definitely more mystical thinkers, which they see the Mishkan and the Mikdash not just as the place where we relate to God in this world, but once you say that it's the place where God relates to us in this world, where God's presence is manifest in this world, they look to it to see it as a microcosm of the world and in some way a parallel to something that exists in heaven. And therefore, for them, the Mishkan and the Mikdash take on these cosmic proportions, right? Because they aren't just our way of relating to God, but they themselves somehow instantiate a reality about the cosmos. Again, both because they reflect the universe, the world as it is, and because they parallel something that exists in heaven. And that really raises the level of drama for these thinkers. And again, these are very, right, what's fascinating is these aren't just, right, these are standard thinkers, like the Ramah, right, for the Ramah, right, that everything in the Mishkan has to be viewed through that lens. And therefore, the rest of the book, he goes through and he shows how it's true of different Karbanot. But once you just have that insight, you understand how seriously and what Jewish thinkers are looking for when they think about the Mishkan and the Mikdash, because they're not just looking for the Mishkan itself, they're not just looking for how do we relate to God, but they're looking for the privilege that we have to partake of this thing that in some way is a microcosm of existence itself, right? And somehow parallels something that exists in heaven, right? It's not just that it's a place where we relate to God, it is somehow heavenly. It is somehow, right, a way where we can tap into all of creation, right? Again, I'm not sure I understand all of it, but to understand that that's why they take it so seriously, and that's the drama that they see playing out, and that's why this is so important, and that's why, right, you need such wisdom when you build the Mishkan and the Mikdash, because you're doing something that is cosmic, right? To understand that, I think, is important to just internalize what exactly the Mefarshim think they're doing and explaining when they talk about the Mishkan. Okay, so that's a little bit on the introduction of the beginning of the Torah Ha'olah, of the Ramah, as we go into several weeks of Mishkan.